Hello, everyone, and welcome to SearchOracle.com's Open World Podcast Series. This is SearchOracle.com News Editor Mark Brunelli, and today we're going to talk a little bit about what Oracle E-Business Suite users can expect when they attend Oracle Open World, which hits San Francisco next month. My special guest today is Ray Wong, and Ray is a principal analyst with Cambridge, Mass-based Forrester Research, and Ray spends his days analyzing trends in enterprise resource planning for the enterprise and mid-market. He also delivers strategic guidance in software licensing and pricing, researches business processes such as the order management cycle and continuous customer management, and assesses functional areas such as customer data integration and the impact of service-oriented architecture on packaged applications. Ray's a longtime source of mine, and we're happy to have him here. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the latest Oracle E-Business Suite news, as well as some trends affecting Oracle E-Business Suite users. And then we're going to get Ray's picks for some of the best E-Business Suite sessions to attend at Open World. Thank you for joining us today, Ray.
Mike, thanks for having me.
To get started, before we get into the E-Business Suite and Open World stuff, I think we should talk a little bit about some of the big news of the last couple of weeks. For those that don't know, it came out this week that John Wookey, Oracle's well-known Vice President of Application Development, is leaving Oracle. Wookie was the head of Oracle's Fusion initiative, and Fusion was the company's plan to combine the so-called best spoils of its many acquisitions onto a single service-enabled platform. Oracle had promised the first Fusion applications in 2008. Ray, do you think Wookie's departure signifies trouble in Fusion land?
You know, I think Wookie's departure is really a result of there's probably a change in approach in terms of getting to Fusion applications. Wookie was pretty effective at serving as a buffer between the application side and the acquisitions, as well as the middleware part. And I think they're looking for new leadership in this area, and part of it is part of the work that Thomas Kurian has done in terms of building out the extensions of within Fusion middleware to be able to make it very useful for the application side, and then as well as a lot of the pressures that are coming from the other pieces of business that are consuming that Fusion middleware, pieces of Fusion middleware, as part of the Apps Unlimited program. I don't know if it signifies that the program is in trouble. It just looks like it's a transition in terms of approach.
Can you tell us a little bit about Thomas Kurian's role? What's he do there?
Thomas Kurian has been the one that's been pioneering a lot of the work in terms of making Fusion middleware successful in the marketplace. A lot of the work's to get Fusion middleware to the current state of where they are in terms of $1 billion in revenue. A lot of the work that has been put in terms of putting features in Fusion middleware to make it competitive against IBM WebSphere. And so some would say, and insiders at Oracle would say, that Thomas has been credited with, you know, bringing Oracle from a database company to a middleware company, and now Fusion Apps is in his hands.
Do you think the Fusion applications will be released on time?
I think that's a tough question to answer because we're not sure what was to be released in 2008. We knew Fusion Apps were coming, and we didn't know what portion of Fusion Apps that would be. There was a lot of speculation that this would be financials. Financial apps would definitely be delivered in the first part of the release with, you know, other pieces such as supply chain and CRM and portions of that coming in subsequent years. At this point, I think it's much too early to determine what is being delivered in Fusion Apps, and I think we'll probably have better ideas as we get closer to Open World.
How do you think Fusion will affect Oracle E-Business in terms of functionality?
You know, Fusion is really going to be the testbed of where all this Fusion middleware components and all the business processes and that have come from all the acquisitions come to play. The way Fusion applications were designed, I think, were to take advantage of a new data model, were to take advantage of, you know, new technologies and VEPL and process monitoring, new business intelligence reporting areas. And so, you know, it was really going to be a new set of applications built on, you know, a lot of the acquisitions that Oracle had made.
Great. Some of the other big news of the last couple of weeks was that Oracle made a $6.66 billion bid for middleware provider BEA Systems. BEA has since rejected the initial offer, but I'm wondering if this deal ends up going through, how do you think that'll affect Oracle's application stack and the Oracle E-Business Suite?
Well, if Oracle does successfully acquire BEA, what they're going to have is probably the best and one of the best high-end middleware platforms, the ones that financial service customers, telco customers, public sector, and those that are building a lot of custom applications have depended on. These include system integrators who've built their future programs and future solution sets on the BEA platform. It also gives Oracle, you know, the bragging rights to claim being number one in middleware, as BEA also has a significant customer base. And putting those two together would give Oracle probably the largest share of middleware. On the customer's front side, you know, I think a lot of customers would, you know, the PeopleSoft toolset was originally built on BEA, and so there's speculation as to whether or not Oracle customers would still be able to use the BEA products and some of the existing sets that they have. But it's more than likely than not that Oracle will continue the same strategy that it has done with applications by supporting BEA in a similar kind of Apps Unlimited, maybe a Tech Unlimited or Middleware Unlimited program.
Prior to this BEA acquisition news or potential BEA acquisition news, I was under the impression from talking to analysts like you that Oracle is strong in middleware. If they are strong, why the BEA acquisition?
You know, the BEA acquisition actually gives Oracle a different set of tools to use. While Oracle was really strong in middleware in some areas, BEA also had some areas of success. And some of the, you know, some examples in terms of where they had very little overlap was, you know, in the transaction monitoring space. BEA had Tuxedo, Oracle didn't have anything there. In the Java virtual machine, same thing. BEA had JRocket, and Oracle didn't have anything. From a business process modeling perspective, BEA didn't have anything. But Oracle had a BPA suite. From a Java development toolkit, you know, Oracle had JDeveloper 10G, and BEA had BEA Workshop. From a BAM perspective, this is activity monitoring, Oracle had a BAM tool, and BEA incorporated some of that from their AquaLogic BPM piece, but wasn't really, you know, a direct offering. There were also areas like business rules where Oracle had business rules and BEA didn't have that. Identity management was another area where Oracle had something and BEA didn't have that. So there are some areas with, where there's no overlap, and there are others where there's low levels of overlap, such as an integration server, SOA management, collaboration, security, and information fabric. And so, you know, in some ways, it's, you know, there's definitely some overlap, some great technologies that both Oracle and BEA can bring out of each other. Of course, the high levels of overlap are pretty obvious, the app server pieces, the portal servers, the enterprise service bus, the BPM layers. Now, those areas, you have a great degree of overlap, and that's where they were competing head-on with each other. And so if, you know, if customers are thinking, hey, would I have the opportunity to see some of this BEA stuff, or would the applications be certified on BEA, I think that's highly not likely, but would Oracle continue BEA in a kind of Apps Unlimited or Middleware Unlimited fashion? I think that's probably more likely, having a middleware and limited kind of program versus having all the Oracle Fusion apps being rewritten on BEA. But I think time will tell.
Getting back to the topic at hand, Oracle Open World, it's just around the corner. What sorts of things do you think will be on the minds of Oracle eBusiness Suite users who are going to the show?
You know, a lot of our clients are trying to understand EBS 12. They want to get a better idea of how they can use that, whether they wait for Fusion apps or upgrade to EBS 12. Some other people are looking at middleware. What middleware components should they have to get ready for Fusion apps? And then, you know, some other customers that we know are trying to figure out, hey, how can they take advantage of other new offerings that Oracle has in the EBS suite, or tie back some of the CRM offerings or supply chain offerings or even procurement apps that are out there.
Oracle has been rolling out Oracle eBusiness Suite 12 for the last year or so. Are there any new pieces of functionality being added that you think are particularly interesting?
You know, there definitely are. I would say they did a lot of work on global financial consolidation, so they can truly do global consolidation now and do it much more quickly by capturing and applying accounting rules, doing it to meet local reporting standards across the world, and using, you know, familiar spreadsheets to solve a lot of this work. They've also done some really good work in real-time operational reporting, some great BAM and DBI tools, great KPIs, and continued investment going in this area. And then they focused on an area called project portfolio analysis, which really allows companies to kind of, you know, balance and align global projects against organizational objectives and track risk. And then there's another piece that's really important now, given the high cost of fuel and gas, strategic network optimization, SNOW. It's an area where they've been able to help companies create optimal supply chain networks and do better jobs in terms of sourcing, asset rationalization, and do it in a graphical manner. There's some really cool graphical tools that are there. And then it's a brand new user experience for what was going on in EBS 12. You get the PeopleSoft interface, the Swan interface that PeopleSoft was working on. So gone are those Oracle, you know, those big gun handles that were bulky, that took up a lot of real estate, and all the Oracle red. It's now back to you know, nice blue, a lot of information, rich screens, much cleaner screens, definitely reducing the number of steps to complete a key task, and much more personalization capabilities than before. But, you know, lots of good stuff in these applications. And, you know, there's some really cool mapping functions using digitalized maps to route reps. So, you know, layering a GIS capability to look at maps and reduce cost reduction for mileage and increasing service revenues by looking at, you know, how you can handle visits in different kind of areas like that.
We talked about Fusion being one of the themes of the show. What do you think Oracle eBusiness Suite users should do to get ready for Fusion?
You know, one of the key things is to really take some time and think about a long-term app strategy. Think about what the requirements you need going forward and look at your existing Oracle landscape. And we say that, you know, because there are a lot of things that come into the overall strategy of upgrades, right? Question of, do you consolidate the number of instances? Are your usage patterns different in your subsidiaries than they are in your headquarters? Are your business processes, are they rapidly changing? Do you need, you know, better tooling to help you with, you know, making changes on the fly for new product introductions or new business models, or addressing new customers, stakeholders, you know, like partners and suppliers? And so once you take that kind of analysis, then you can figure out, oh, does an upgrade make sense? And, you know, and what components would then help me get there? So for example, you know, if you've got, you know, business intelligence and reporting needs are becoming more important, then you might start looking at the business activity monitoring tools that give you real-time operational dashboards, and that might tie into some of your business strategies. And this is where the key thing is. You want to think about business strategies. You want to think about, you know, what you can tie a project back to, and then the middleware component that it's important. So, you know, some of the strategies are around growth, some strategies are around reducing costs, some strategies are, you know, around compliance and risk, some strategies are really just truly strategic. And so take something like internal self-service. Well, helping employees get online, onboard much quicker, that's something that's an operational efficiency. That helps you get people up to date, that makes sure everybody gets a laptop on the day they show up, a phone line extension, access to all their systems, you know, a badge and all their benefits. Great. But maybe there's something that's a little bit more strategic, that's designed to grow business, like an external self-service kind of project, which means you put in a portal, which means you open up the system to partners and suppliers and customers to track order visibility. Well, that's something that drives growth. That's something that customers are looking for. And so that's how you start thinking about, well, what pieces of middleware do I apply? You know, and what are the key areas that I would need to be successful in?
We've got to talk about the competition a little bit. In your opinion, how does the Oracle eBusiness Suite stack up against comparable products from Oracle's chief rival, SAP?
You know, I think in many ways, an Oracle buyer and an SAP buyer are very different. The way we see in our clients, we kind of have a what we call a kind of Cosmo test as to who's more likely to be an Oracle customer or an SAP customer. And what we've found is that an Oracle customer tends to be someone that's looking for a lot more flexibility in the system. They tend to be coming from an operating side of the business that can be driven, you know, where people are used to custom development. And so they want to know that they have some flexibility after implementation, and that tends to drive, you know, the people that choose an Oracle, you know, an Oracle product. An SAP customer tends to be looking for standardization across business processes, tends to be coming from the CFO's office. There tends to be a tendency where, you know, they're looking for uniformity and consistency across the business. And so that those two types of personality types are distinct enough that when you look at the product set and features, many of them are very similar. It's just a question of how people feel about the product and what deployment options are available to them. So if you're the kind of person who's going to make a lot of change to your company, that one that's in a lot of constant change, needs to make a lot of constant modifications to org structures, to hierarchies, or changes to workflows and processes, you're more likely to choose something on the Oracle end. If you're looking to create standardization in your business because your business is, you know, really federated and you're using IT and using a project like this, you know, to help improve those kind of efficiencies and improve regulatory compliance or improve, you know, business process standardization, then you see a lot more people choose SAP. So I would say that, you know, the feature sets are fairly similar on the application side, but when it comes down to the middleware side, what we do see is that, you know, the Oracle, the Fusion middleware seems to be a lot easier for partners and customers to make changes on and use than the SAP NetWeaver product.
Ray, last question that I want to talk about is that I asked you to do a little bit of homework and pick out some key open world sessions that you think will be of interest to the Oracle eBusiness Suite crowd. Could you give us your picks and tell us why you think they're important?
Definitely. There are three that I am definitely going to be at, and if you see me there, please say hi. But there are two that are on the same time, so I'm not sure I'm going to do this. The first one is 10 things you can do today to prepare for Oracle Fusion applications by Nadia Benjadu. And that's Monday, I believe at 11 a.m. in Moscone West. That is a great session. That's one that talks to the same issues that you've had, a lot of the issues that our customers had, really about understanding, what do I need to do? I'm not going to buy Fusion. I'm not going to get the Fusion applications today, but how can I move my technology forward? What do I need to do to, you know, what are some of those best practices that I can do to get there? The second one is introducing Oracle Applications Integration Architecture, bringing together Oracle's application portfolio with pre-integrated business processes. And that's from Jose Lazarus, and he's the guy heading the AIA initiative and a great guy to talk to. And the unfortunate thing is he's on the other side in Moscone West in room 306 at the same time. So 11 a.m. to 12. And this is a great session because it's really talking about Oracle's future plans and AIA is really the ability for Oracle to bring in business processes, tie into verticals, create a partner ecosystem, and that's something that, you know, is definitely interesting for someone that's looking for that level of strategy. And then, of course, there's going to be a Fusion Applications introduction, intro session by Steve Miranda on Tuesday at 10:45 in Moscone South, and that's definitely a good one to, you know, understand exactly what's happening in the next generation apps, what Oracle's going to provide, and Steve is one of the key figures and key players leading that Oracle Fusion Apps initiative.
That's great. So no shortage of stuff for eBusiness Suite users at Open World, huh?
Oh, definitely not.
Ray, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
And to all you listeners out there, if you'd like to learn more about the upcoming Oracle Open World event, you can always point your browsers to www.searchoracle.com/news. And I'm sure you'll find plenty of stories there that feature Ray Wong. And that's all. We'll see you online, and thanks for joining us today.